All glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Sri Guru Chi Grang, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishvadaya Krishna Sri Guru Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasri Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 7, verse 74. Nama Vino Kali Kali Nahi Ardharma. Sarva Mantra Sar Nama E Shastra Marma. Translation, in this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. Purport of the principle of the parampara system were strictly followed, honored in previous ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, but in the present age, Kali Yuga, people neglect the importance of the system of Shrota Parampara, or receiving knowledge by the succession. In this age, people are prepared to argue that they can understand that which is beyond their limited knowledge and perception through so-called scientific observations and experiments, not knowing that actual truth comes down to man from authorities. This argumentative attitude is against the Vedic principles, and it is very difficult for one who adopts it to understand that the holy name of Krishna is as good as Krishna himself. Since Krishna and his holy name are identical, the holy name is eternally pure and beyond material contamination. It is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a transcendental vibration. The holy name is completely different from material sound, as confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur, Golokera Prema Dhana Harinam Sankirtan. The transcendental vibration of Harinam Sankirtan is imported from the spiritual world. Thus, although materialists who are addicted to experimental knowledge and the so-called scientific method cannot place their faith in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is a fact that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra offenselessly, one can be freed from all subtle and gross material conditions. The spiritual world is called Vaikuntha, which means without anxiety. In the material world, everything is full of anxiety, or kunta, whereas in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, everything is free from anxiety. Therefore, those who are afflicted by a combination of anxieties cannot understand the Hare Krishna Mantra, which is free from all anxiety. In the present age, the vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only process that is a transcendental, is in a transcendental position beyond material contamination. Since the holy name can deliver a conditioned soul, it is explained here to be Sarva Mantra Sar, the essence of all Vedic hymns. A name that represents an object of the material world may be subjected to arguments and experimental knowledge, but in the absolute world, a name and its owner, the fame and the famous, are identical, and similarly the qualities, pastimes, and everything else pertaining to the absolute are also absolute. Although Mayavadis profess monism, they differentiate between the holy name of the Supreme Lord and the Lord himself. For this offense of Namaparad, they gradually glide down from their exalted position of Brahma Gyan, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Aruhi Krishna Parampadam Tata Patanchino Nadrata Yushmad Angreha. Although by severe austerities they rise to the exalted position of Brahma Gyan, they nevertheless fall down due to imperfect knowledge of the absolute truth. Although they profess to understand the Vedic mantra, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, which means everything is Brahman, they are unable to understand that the holy name is also Brahman. If they regularly chant the Maha Mantra, however, they can be relieved from this misconception. Unless one properly takes shelter of the holy name, he cannot be relieved from the offensive stage of chanting the holy name. Translation, in this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. So there are many scriptures. There's Vedas with their different parts, such as Brahmanas, Aranyakas, Upanishads, and Samhitas. There are the Angas of the Vedas, such as Jyotish and Vyakaran and other parts. There is other literatures like Smriti Shastras, there's Puranas, there's Itihasas, Pancharatra Shastras, etc. And apparently, if we look superficially, we'll see there are many contradictory statements, particularly about who is supreme. However, since we accept these works as scripture, there can be no contradiction. They must be perfect works. So there cannot be contradiction. Everything has to be worked out, and there has to be one conclusion, not several conclusions. So this is the work of the different acharyas. They take all the different scriptures, and they come to a final conclusion based on comparing the different statements and the context of the statements, and with use of rules of interpretation and logic, they come out with a final statement. So though the literature is vast, the final conclusion will be very simple. So various acharyas have done this, and if we take the Vaishnava acharyas, they generally come to the same conclusion. If we take the non-Vaishnavas, they may come to other conclusions. So there's a little problem there, who was correct? And then we have to examine the different types of, or different methods they use to come to their conclusion. So some may claim David as their supreme. And of course, we know that Shankaracharya will claim Brahman with no personality and no form and no qualities. That is supreme. Everything else is illusion. Huh? So of course, generally the devatas, the concept of devatas is rejected, and we're left with two alternatives. Either there is Supreme Brahman, one entity, or there is Supreme Lord, and he is master of material energy in the jivas. So basically two things, Vaishnavas versus non-Vaishnava impersonalists. So these are the two basic conclusions, which are subject to further debate or whatever. So the Vaishnavas, of course, have thoroughly condemned the conclusion of Shankaracharya that Brahman is the only existence thing by examining the context of different statements that he uses, such as Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma or Aham Brahmasmi, etc., and putting in everything into proper context. So when we do that, then we come to the conclusion that there is a Supreme Lord, and there's a real world, and there are real jivas. So that is the general conclusion, and that's agreed upon by all the Vaishnavas. So in one sense, that is Shastra Marma, the conclusion of all scriptures. The details, of course, of why we have different Vaishnava Sampradayas is simply a discussion, a logical discussion of how the Lord relates to the jivas in the material world. And so we have different philosophies like Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita, Sudha Dvaita, Veda Ved, Svabhavik Veda Ved, and Achintya Veda Ved. But basically the conclusion is the same. There is Supreme Lord, there are jivas, there is matter. So that is the philosophical conclusion. Along with that, then there is another statement. There is a Supreme Lord, we have the jivas. So the jivas in the material world are in ignorance. So what do they do in order to get out of ignorance and realize the Supreme Lord? So therefore we have a process, or what we call abhideya, some action we do in order to realize the Supreme Lord. So of course in Bhagavad Gita we have various methods like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga mentioned, but there we see the conclusion is Bhakti Yoga. So this is not only the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. If we look in the Bhagavatam, that's also the conclusion. If we look in the Vishnu Purana, that's also the conclusion. And if we even go back to the Vedas and Upanishads, you'll see it's also the conclusion. So, therefore we have Supreme Lord is there, and the process to realize Him is bhakti. What is the final goal of the jiva on worshipping the Lord with bhakti? And the answer is prema, pure bhakti. So these are all conclusions of scripture, which all the Vaishnavas agree to. Now, in the method, we have bhakti. In bhakti, of course, we have many methods, like hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the deity, bowing down, putting on garlands, taking prasadam, etc. So, Rupa Goswami has mentioned 64 different varieties of activities you can do to perform bhakti and to attain prema. So, the question will come, which of these should we do? In the Nectar of Devotion that Rupa Goswami says, five activities are very important, more powerful activities. That is hearing Bhagavatam, chanting the name of the Lord, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, and living in a holy dham. These five important things are there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has pointed out that of all the different bhakti activities, ultimately chanting of the name of Krishna is the supreme activity. Why? He says this is the Yuga Dharma. In each yuga, people are qualified for different things. In Satya Yuga, people are very elevated in sattva, so therefore they can practice meditation because they're already in control of their mind. In Treta Yuga, there is less elevation, some contamination, so therefore people are advised to do yajna or homa, worship the Supreme Lord, not in the mind, but through fire, offering through fire. In Dwarpa Yuga, the people are more contaminated. They cannot realize the Lord in fire very well. So therefore, they have a form of the Lord, the deity form, and they serve that form. So these are methods for the people in general, because they're qualified. In Kali Yuga, the people are less qualified. They are not qualified. Everybody's not qualified immediately for deity worship, nor are they qualified for yajna or meditation. So, therefore, the process for Kali Yuga is chanting the name of the Lord, and particularly chanting the name of Krishna. So that is what is stated here. In Kali Yuga, there is no other dharma than chanting the name of the Lord. This means, of course, not that we exclude every other activity except chanting, but this is the principal activity. And even if we do other activities, we cannot stop chanting the name. So, we do deity worship, we do have sarasanga, we hear Bhagavatam, so we have all these other processes. But we never give up the chanting of the name of the Lord. So, we can hear and hear and hear, but we still have to chant. We can worship the deity, but we still have to chant. So every other process is dependent upon chanting of the name. So that is what it means that we say Yuga Dharma is the main process. So it is the main process not just for devotees, it is the main process for the people of Kali Yuga. People should engage in bhakti. So they engage in bhakti in Satya Yuga by meditating. Or by doing homa in Treta Yuga, or by deity worship in Dwarpa Yuga. In Kali Yuga, they can take the process of bhakti simply by chanting the name of the Lord. They're not qualified for the other processes directly. So this is the general process for people in general. This is the process for everyone to follow. They can begin with this process. And from this they can advance and do other processes when they are qualified. So, we can chant the holy name with the other processes, or we can chant the holy name without the other processes. Either way. Generally we combine them. It is very difficult to separate the holy name from other processes like hearing or sadhu sangha, etc. At least those two must be there. However, we do distinctly separate the chanting of the holy name and the process of bhakti from other processes like karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga. We don't have to do these processes at all. We have to do the process of bhakti, we have to do the chanting of the holy name. Other processes, we exclude. And this is so not only in Kali Yuga, it is so in all the yugas. So in Satya Yuga, the dhyana is not astanga yoga dhyana, it is bhakti dhyana. And the sacrifices in Treta Yuga are not karmakanda sacrifices, they are sacrifices in praise of Vishnu, a type of archana. And the archana in Dwarpa Yuga is not archana of Shiva and Durga and others, but are obviously Supreme Lord. So all the processes are bhakti. So in all the ages, bhakti is the main process. Others are secondary processes that don't have to be done. If we take shelter of bhakti. In Kali Yuga, the same applies, and the process we follow is chanting the name. Of all the different processes of bhakti, the process is chanting the name. Through this, we attain whatever one can attain in the other yugas. So, the process of bhakti includes the dhyana of Satya Yuga. By chanting the holy name, we concentrate on the sound, we concentrate on the form of the Lord. So through chanting the name, we can meditate. Nam Sankirtan is yajna. It is the best homa. It is the best sacrifice. So instead of doing fire sacrifices, all we do is chant the holy name. Equally as good. In Dwarapa Yuga, we have worship of the deity. By chanting the holy name, we're also worshiping the Lord. And through the name, we realize the form and the qualities and activities of the Lord. So whatever is available in the other processes, the advantages, is also there in chanting the holy name. The outstanding quality of the holy name is, it does not require the qualification necessary for deity worship, for performing sacrifices, and for meditation. All these processes require strict control of the senses, following rules and regulations. They require great knowledge, knowledge of mantras, knowledge of processes. So, chanting the name has effect. Even if one has no control of the senses, one has no knowledge, one is completely fallen. And we see this in the case of Anchamil. He chanted accidentally, and he was a fallen person doing all sorts of sinful activities, no knowledge, completely in ignorance, completely uncontrolled in his senses. But by accidentally chanting the name of the Lord, he got great result. He destroyed all of his karmas. Of course, the instruction here is not that we chant accidentally, but we should try to chant intentionally with devotion. If we chant intentionally with devotion in kirtan, then accidentally people may hear it. So it is good for them. But for ourselves, we should try to do this intentionally. So as far as being the yuga dharma, we do it intentionally, and it has even greater effect. So not only it destroys karmas, which you can do very easily, but if done properly, as Prabhupada mentions at the end of this purport, and this one, properly take shelter of the holy name, if we do that properly, then we get a much, much greater result, much greater than anything one can attain by karma yoga, material results, much greater than one can attain by jnana or yoga, liberation. What can one attain is this position of prema, eternal service to the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. This is attainable by chanting the holy name properly. So what does properly mean? Obviously, without offenses. But beyond that, without abhas. That means without ignorance. We have to have proper knowledge. So though the name is the Yuga Dharma, we do have some conditions. Along with the name, if we were to chant purely to get the result prema, we also have to have knowledge. To get the knowledge, we need devotees. So therefore, along with chanting of the holy name, we must have sadhusanga, we must have shravana. These two other angas are necessary. So, in this way, we come to the level of pure chanting, and this allows us to attain the goal, prema. So though the holy name is the Yuga Dharma, then we also have to accompany it with the other processes, sarusanga and shravana. When we come to Sravana, what is the Sravana? It is Bhagavatam. Shastra Marma is the conclusion of scriptures. Bhagavatam is the final scripture. This is the conclusion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the conclusion of the Goswamis. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all shastras. So the Shastra Marma that is mentioned in this verse means that we should study Bhagavatam. So in Bhagavatam, what is the conclusion? Worship the Supreme Lord. Who is the Supreme Lord? It's Krishna. So not only Bhagavan, but Krishna. So therefore, we not only chant the name of the Lord, we chant Krishna's name. So Nam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma. But Lord Chaitanya said, not just Nam Sankirtan, it is Krishna Nam. Because Bhagavatam indicates Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. So therefore, the Yuga Dharma is chanting the name of Krishna. So when we say that Nam Kirtan is the Yuga Dharma, we actually mean chanting Krishna's name is the Yuga Dharma. Why? Because Bhagavatam is concluded in Kali Yuga. What is the recommendation for the people? They should worship Krishna. That is the whole point of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is another form of Krishna in Kali Yuga. The sages of Naimisaranya ask, well, Krishna has disappeared, he's taken Dharma with him. So in Kali Yuga, what are we to do? And the answer given by Suta Goswami is, Bhagavatam is Krishna in Kali Yuga. Krishna has left, but he's here in the form of Bhagavatam. So therefore, the conclusion of Bhagavatam is worship Krishna. So, how do we worship Krishna? So, we worship Krishna through his name. We chant the name of Krishna. This is the conclusion. So, therefore, when we talk about the conclusion of scripture and everything like that, ultimately we mean that it is chanting the name of Krishna. So there we have Krishna as supreme, and we have the process chanting the name, Nam Sankirtan. So, it says here, Savra Mantra Sar Nama. The name is the essence of all mantras. So Vedas are composed of mantras, and mantras are used for worship. But mantras need qualification. Vedic mantras need qualification. You have to take Upanayanam to chant Vedic mantras. To chant other mantras, Vaishnava mantras, you need Diksha. Pancharatri mantras, you need Diksha. But in Kali Yuga, this is not the general process. We cannot give mantras to people. We have to give them Diksha. To give them Diksha, then they have to be qualified. So, not open for everyone. So, the name is non-different from the... Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna mantra. But it is different because it does not need Diksha. Everybody can chant it. So this is the blessing of the name. It is the same as the mantra. It is the essence of the mantra. Whatever power is in the mantra of Krishna is also in the name of Krishna. But it does not require Diksha. Everyone can chant without Diksha. So that is why it is the Yuga Dharma. It is something which can be given to everyone. And as I said, even accidentally, it will have some effect. If it's chanted accidentally, it still has some effect. If it's chanted with intention, but with ignorance, then it is called Namabhas. If it is chanted with knowledge, then it is called pure name, Sudanam. And of these, Sudanam is the best. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the method, chanting the name of Krishna, and he's also given not just any name, he's given particular names, that is the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is very special because it is not only the name of Krishna, it is also the name of Radha. So therefore we get not only Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, but we also get access to Radha and Krishna, the highest aspect of Krishna in the spiritual world. So this is Lord Chaitanya's outstanding contribution, not just Yuga Dharma, and not just Krishna, but Radha and Krishna. So he gives the people of Kali Yuga the opportunity to participate in Madhurya Rasa, even though the people of Kali Yuga are the most unqualified, even for lowest spiritual realization. Lord Chaitanya allows them to get the highest realization, which is not available in Dwarapa Yuga or Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga. So this is the special blessing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How are they different? They're different because there's grammatical context. They have a bead syllable like Om or Klim or Shrim or Trom or whatever like that. They have the name of the Lord and the date of case like Krishnaya, Vishnave, Vasudevaya, etc. And they have a verb form like Namaha, Svaha. And they have some other words sometimes, descriptive words. The name is simply calling out to Krishna, Sambodhana case, O Krishna. Without anything, no additional, I surrender to you, Krishna, give me this, or whatever, nothing. It's just Krishna, finish. Sambodhana case, no verb, no accessories to it. That's the name. So the mantras require qualification. They are given through diksha, and the person individually chants. He does not give the mantra to the persons. No, not necessarily. We have other mantras, we have other things also. Different mantras have different syllables, different bijas, not just Om. Om is a general one. There's other, like Nishramadev has Trom attached to it. Krishna has his own bija. There is Saraswati bija for Guru, different, not Om. But many different bijas are there. Well, Gayatri Mantra, the Vedic Gayatri Mantra, of course there's many Gayatri Mantras, but there's one primary Gayatri Mantra which is said to be the essence of the Vedas, and ultimately the Vedas are Krishna, so in one sense it is also Krishna. However, one, you need qualification to chant it. You have to take Upanayanam. Not just Brahmins, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas can also take the mantra and chant it. It requires that qualification. Secondly, it has svaras. So you have to chant the mantra properly with svaras. And if you don't do that, it's also not effective. And you also have to know the meaning of the mantra, also, otherwise it's ineffective. So, it's a Vedic mantra. It requires qualification. So we cannot give that mantra to everybody in the world, obviously, so it's limited in its application. Ultimately, non-different from the Supreme Lord. In that sense, we can say it is similar. It is a little indirect, because addressing the Lord through his Shakti, in the form of the sun and its rays. Whereas when we say the name of Krishna, we're directly addressing the Supreme Lord. So there's a difference there also. Well, yeah, if we chant the holy name and we have some faith, but we think, oh, maybe Krishna's a devata, I don't know actually who he is, then that means namabhas. When we actually know, yes, Krishna is Supreme Lord, devatas are different, they are jivas with material bodies, then we have good knowledge. We may think Krishna, maybe, yes, Krishna, we chant Hare Krishna, and we merge into Brahman at the end. So then again, we have to understand Krishna is superior to Brahman, and Brahman is simply emanation from Krishna. And our goal is not to merge in Brahman, but to serve Krishna eternally. So again, we have to have clear knowledge of what our goal is. When we think, oh yes, Krishna means Vishnu, actually, so I chant Krishna's name and actually Vishnu is supreme. So I'll realize Vishnu. So again, we have to be distinctly clear that Krishna is a distinct form of the Supreme Lord, and he's actually a supreme form with all wonderful qualities manifest, not that he's simply an aspect of Vishnu. So in this way, we have to have various types of knowledge about the distinction of Krishna. We have to have a distinct understanding of what is bhakti. It is a spiritual process, not a material process. Yeah? And that chanting the holy name is spiritual, that the name is non-different from the Supreme Lord. It's not some material sound vibration. So we have to have very clear distinctions philosophically and concerning the process of bhakti. If we think bhakti is means worshipping the Lord and getting material things, then we have a mixed type of bhakti. That also means abhas. If we chanting Krishna's name for liberation or yoga cities, that is also abhas. Yeah? So we have to understand clearly that real bhakti means pure bhakti. If we chant with these impurities, we get different results. We don't get prema. Should be, if they read the books, if they understand the books. The name, of course, the name is pure in any case. Even in Namabath, it's not that the name is contaminated, it's the people contamination. So the name is pure, the process of bhakti is pure. The devotees, of course, are not on the highest level because only prema is pure. So we're doing pure bhakti now, as defined in nectar devotion. But it is not the same as on the level of prema. So, what is the difference? The difference is, still, we have some material contamination. It is still called pure bhakti because at least we have a proper understanding. And this is much better than the person without a proper understanding. Yeah? So, we're not pure, but we have a proper understanding. So therefore, we call it pure bhakti in pure name, even though it's not the highest level. This is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. If we don't have this clear understanding and we go on in our impure state, we get a different result. We do not get prema. So this is the pure bhakti, and we can say the pure bhakti in the contaminated state is the qualification for pure bhakti and prema, uncontaminated state. And if we do impure bhakti with ignorance in the impure state, then we don't get prema. Govind is also a name of the Lord, and all the names of the Lord which describe his form and pastimes in the spiritual world, they're all absolute. But particularly we chant the name of Krishna because that's considered to be the highest name, containing the essence of all the other names of Krishna. And it's the one recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.